This is My Favorite DJ, the podcast. Hey guys, I actually have a bit of a cold. I was debating whether or not I should record, but I decided to record a little bit. I didn't want to wait till I got off this cold to be able to record some. So here we are. If the audio sounds a little different, I'm trying a new recording technique today, so hopefully it's not too bad. And if it sounds good, then rock and roll. Perfect. There was the Spotify end of the year thing came out recently, and everyone was posting all the artists that they had been listening to and listened to throughout the year. And I was on a couple of people's podcast wrap up for their podcast listening, and I think I'm gonna push really hard in 2023 to be at the top of everyone's Spotify podcast wrap up. So if you have Apple Podcasts and Spotify and you listen on Apple Podcasts, switch over to Spotify so we can get a couple of year end screenshots of this podcast being number one, and I'll share it obviously and give you guys a thank you for listening. Today we're brought to you by my Patreon. If you haven't been to my Patreon, it's patreon.com/myfavoritedj. I put out edits, videos of me making edits, how I use the edits, videos of me DJing. I've been putting up 15-minute recordings of my live sets when I am traveling out of town or if I'm playing Miami gigs. I record about 15 minutes or less, but I realized that... there's some noise. I realized that Mixcloud doesn't allow things less than 15 minutes, and if it does, it creates it as it's a track, like an individual song. So that's, I don't know if it's going to be 15 minutes or less, or be 15:01 or something like that. Hopefully nobody calls me out for uploading too much. But that being said, you can join the Patreon and download edits, and I have lots of different monthly editions, not just contemporary edits, things that come out recently or have come out recently, but also old edits. I have like 1500 plus edits that I have made over the last 10 to 15 years, and they go up on the Patreon every now and then. So if you've missed stuff, it'll come back up in the future. I appreciate it. I appreciate it if you're a patron and you're listening to the podcast, and if you're not a patron, then check it out, patreon.com/myfavoritedj. Today I had an interesting interaction with somebody that I mentioned on the podcast a couple of months ago. You know, I answered a call in the middle of the night, just coming out of pandemic. An old coworker of mine who's a host promoter, operator, he runs certain things here in Miami. He called me at like, I don't know, 10:30 at night, maybe close to 11, and I silenced the call because I knew that it was going to be some sort of an emergency to get a DJ somewhere, and I didn't want to deal with it, so I silenced it. But then he called me a second time, and I picked it up. By the way, again, I apologize for my nasally voice, and if you hear me, using a tissue or something like that, I apologize. So the second time he called me, I picked it up, I felt bad. He's like, hey, I need a DJ, 911. Emergency to this venue, please come over. So I went, I didn't ask questions. I didn't say how much we're getting paid, you know, what's the hours. You know, I just went and I started playing, and I found out that there was somebody else coming in. So basically, like, he just needed me to open. I don't do that very frequently anymore. I don't have a problem with it. And especially the DJ that was coming on after, I liked the guy. So I was like, oh, this is fine. I don't have a problem opening. So then I hit him back up and I was like, where do I invoice for this gig? And there was no response. And so I just kind of left it. And he never brought it back up, and neither did I. Well, it's been months, maybe a year. It would not be out of the realm of possibility for it to have been a year ago. And today, same person sends me a message saying, hey, I need a favor for this nonprofit that's going on, and are you able to DJ? And so I say, I'm going to call you. So he gives me the rundown of the nonprofit thing. And I'm just like, hey, man, yeah, I'm available if you need it. I can go. It's just an hour, not a big deal. Also, here's an aside on the business tip. Sometimes money is not the only compensation. And I don't mean like, you know, doing favors or like, you know, high fives. But if you get approached by a nonprofit that's not going to pay you, that's okay, because nonprofits have a specific tax form. Now, I'm not a professional. This is not, you know, tax advice. Talk to your accountant. But nonprofits have a specific tax form that they issue out to people that do work for them for quote unquote free. So, for example, the rate that I would quote for this thing I want to do would be like $2,000 or $5,000, because that's how much my time is worth as an artist, and that's how much I've been paid provably. So the nonprofit will issue you a form that says that you have donated that amount of time or money to the nonprofit for the services you've rendered. And so that is something that gets baked into your taxes, and it's like a donation to a nonprofit, and it helps the overall arc of your taxes. And that's as well as I can explain it without understanding most of what I talk about all the time. So it's a, you know, talk to your accountants about working for a nonprofit and what form they give you and why it's beneficial. So anyway, I said, yeah, man, I'm on board for this gig that you need me to do, but I have to bring something up to you. He's like, yeah, what's up? I said, look, man, I bailed you out like a year ago on that 911 emergency you had, and you never got back to me about the invoice. I didn't know where I was supposed to send an invoice or who I was supposed to talk to. And he goes, are you serious? I'm like, yeah, you know, like I had seen you in person a couple times and you never brought it up. And I just kind of felt a little shafted. And he goes, well, I'm really sorry about that. Do you remember what day it was? And I go, no, I don't remember. He's like, well, look, here's the thing, man. Sometimes I get swamped with emails and text messages and I might overlook it. And in the moment, I didn't respond. And I'm really sorry about that. But if you get me the date, I'll get you paid. I don't want to leave any holes out there. And I said, look, man, this conversation's filling that hole. I just didn't know what approach to take. He said, whenever something is missing or messed up, you have to hound me and you got to double down on it so I don't let it doesn't slip through the cracks. He's like, I'll never have a problem taking care of, you know, someone that helps me out in a pinch, especially since it's not me paying. It's the venue. He's like, I overlooked it and I apologize. And so it's a valuable lesson, because here's the thing. For the last year, I thought that he, or plus, you know, whatever, however long ago it was, I thought that he had basically big leagued me and, you know, was not answering a message when I did him a favor. But that was not, it turned out to not be the case at all. What turned out to be the case is he got swamped with other things and never got back to the point where he was going to answer that question, because everything else starts piling up on top of it, right? And in my mind, I'm like, oh, he's just ignoring me. But that was not the reality of the situation. The reality was he just kind of moved on with all the million things he's got to do and didn't look backwards. So this is kind of an important lesson, because sometimes in business, especially because we do a lot of the business ourselves, we might feel some sort of a personal slight or anger or disappointment when someone doesn't fulfill what we believe they should fulfill for us. But it can be a misunderstanding, like this situation was. So I think it's important, because we do our own business, to be completely honest, open, transparent, and not in an aggressive way. Because I could have said, oh, I'm bailing you out for the second time. You need me for this event. And last time I bailed you out, you didn't even respond about the check. So looks like you owe me twice. You know, I could have said something like that, and it would have been snarky, and it would have potentially been detrimental to my relationship with this person. When in reality, what it was that had happened was a misunderstanding. It was a miscommunication, and it was me not following up in a manner that was conducive to him getting the money to me that was owed to me. So it's an important note, because a lot of times people will misconstrue situations and create a narrative in their mind that is not the reality. So it's important to approach these situations, especially business, because we're talking about checks, right? We're talking about money. We're talking about dollar bills in your bank account. So you want to be cautious. You want to be assertive, but you want to be cautious because we don't own the nightclubs. We're still employees. And as valuable as we are providing the music, if we start rubbing people the wrong way because our attitude is constantly, fuck you, pay me, and I'm always right, and it doesn't matter what you say, you just got to cut the check, it might come off as detrimental in the long run. Whereas the conversation that I had with this person not only cleared up the previous issue that we had, but also has now potentially created a new layer and dynamic where I know that I can just pursue via phone calls, emails, or text messages when something's missing or when he needs to do something because he might be really busy. And on a personal level, now I would hope that he has a greater respect for me and my ability to communicate my emotional intelligence. Whether or not we discuss that in person ever is beyond the scope of importance. What's important is the fact that he knows, I mean, to kind of dumb it down, is that I'm not a bitch, you know, like, and not characterizing that in any gender terms or animal terms, but just like, you know, like bitch behavior would be, in my opinion and in my definition, you know, somebody that gets slighted and goes, you know what, fuck that person, I'm never gonna do business with them again, I don't need them anyway, it doesn't matter what, no man, like, yo, just talk to people in a, you know, in a way that's conducive to proper communication, without feelings, without emotions. And a lot of times you'll realize that people will give you their real character. When you're being real, you'll get some realness back. And maybe you don't like what you get back, but the beautiful thing is you're always in the right, because by just being real and true to yourself and being honest, it doesn't matter what other people do, because you are already in the right. I'm gonna take a second here because my nose is literally shifting like pressure around. Oh boy. Well, ooh, it's hard to breathe. All right, so it's the end of the year, guys. Hopefully you guys had a good year. I think this was kind of like the first real year back almost entirely for a lot of people out of pandemic. What are some of your goals for next year? I have a couple. I think I want to start two specific businesses next year. One of which for sure, the other one is a maybe. But I don't want to divulge any of that yet, because I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to undertake those responsibilities. So I'm just going to keep that close to the chest. But there's definitely two things I want to do. I want to be more active in the podcast space for sure, especially now that I have more space and more time of quiet. This week I've been meaning to podcast for a while, and I've been waiting for the right ideas to come through, because again, guys, I don't like just talking to people because here's content, listen to it, yay. No, like, I want to have like real important things to speak about. And there's actually one specific topic that I'm going to record next as an end of the year podcast that's going to be like, I think, the most important podcast for DJs that want more out of their careers that I've ever put out. So if you don't have this podcast as saved, or if you don't have whatever notifications set on this, I recommend that you set the notifications up to be notified when the next podcast comes out, because the next one's going to be probably the most important podcast for people that want their careers to excel and to reach new levels. For those that strive for more, I have basically come to a single data point that is the most important for everyone that wants more out of what they're doing. It's not even just DJing, man. It's like for life. For life stuff, I just figured out something that's very, very helpful. And that's going to be the next podcast. I think the whole podcast will be tailored around that idea. In regards to some personal stuff that's been going on, about a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago, I have a love-hate relationship with caffeine, as I'm sure a lot of you out there do in podcast land, because working nights is not easy, especially if during the week you have a regular sleep schedule. One of the things about the human body is that the sleep patterns have to stay relatively consistent for it to work and for you to be optimized. That doesn't mean that you can't have weird hours. Like, for example, people that work night shift, if you do that every day, like if you work night shift every day and you sleep during the day, that might be better than switching up the patterns of sleep twice a week or three times a week. What does that mean? For example, let's say that I'm going to use me as an example. So during the pandemic, I was going to sleep at 10:30, 11 o'clock. There was nothing to do. And I was waking up at 7-8 o'clock in the morning. It was great. I found out I'm a morning person. It was amazing. So what ended up happening is now I have the same schedule during the week, because I got to wake up early during the weekdays, 7 o'clock, 7:30. But then the problem is that Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, if it's a local week and I'm in Miami, my job starts at 11 o'clock. I'm not in bed by 11, going to sleep, 11:30, 12. I'm actually starting to work. So I'll have the whole week where I'm going to sleep at 11 o'clock, 11:30, maybe midnight. And then come Friday, I have to be up till 4 in the morning, because I got to work till 3 and change, and I got to drive home, got to unwind and get to sleep. So then I got to wake up. But my body's used to waking up at 7 a.m., so my body will start waking up around 8. But the problem is it's only 4 hours. So now my whole pattern is thrown off. So then you catch a nap in the afternoon on Saturday, and then guess what? Saturday you have to stay up again. So Sunday your body's acclimating to the new sleep schedule. So your body's being told, oh, okay, so now we're staying up till 3-4 in the morning and taking a nap midday. So come Sunday night, you're not sleepy at 11 o'clock or 12. You're basically awake because your body's thinking, okay, so we got another day of work here. So you might go to sleep late, but then you got to wake up at 7:30 in the morning on Monday. You know, things get completely out of whack and the scheduling gets weird. So one of the things that I use to help mitigate tiredness throughout these constant changes of sleep patterns, one of the things I use is caffeine. And caffeine has been kind of a staple in my life for the last like 6 or 7 years. I didn't used to drink coffee throughout my 20s, but then towards the end of my 20s, I kind of picked it up. And I kind of never stopped. And it's great because you have a cup of coffee, you're kind of tired, or you have an energy drink. You know, I drink Jocko's, which are pretty healthy, 90 milligrams of caffeine. And they taste good. And they're great. And they help keep you awake, keep you alive. If you're driving home late at night, you know, you're kind of sleepy. I had a buddy a long time ago that fell asleep after a gig and like just mushed against the highway guardrails, wrecked his car. He was okay though. But, you know, energy drinks and caffeine, coffee specifically, they tend to help a lot, especially with the pattern switches. But about a year and a half ago, I got a nitro brew brewer, little canister for coffee that comes with a space to put in the little nitrous canister to make nitro brew at home. So I thought, oh, this is great. I'm going to be caffeinated to the gills and I'm going to be awake and I'm going to be able to see the future. So I bought, this is a lot of bad decision making on my parts, but I bought the world's strongest coffee, you know, the bag with the crossbones on it, put it in the nitro brew and was just like drinking this extremely high caffeine coffee nitro brew on a daily basis. And I was like sucking down coffees left and right, going to work. Pandemic had, you know, finished, quote unquote finished. In some places it's still going on. Any of you guys still have to wear masks? That's terrible if you do. I mean, I get it if you're going to the hospital or something and they want to be extra they want to take extra precautions. That makes sense. But, you know, day-to-day life, I mean, there's, anyway. All right, I digress. Sorry if you do wear masks. And if you want to wear masks, if you're forced, I'm sorry. If you're not forced and you want to wear it, by all means, thank you. Thank you for keeping your spit, you know, controlled. So I'm caffeinating myself to the gills. And then during workouts or strenuous activities, I was getting headaches like at the base of my neck. And they were pretty debilitating where I was like, ow, this hurts. It's like a different kind of headache, like almost like a muscle pain. So I didn't know why they were happening. So I went to the doctor and they checked me out. And they're like, oh, you might just get migraines. And I'm like, yeah, I've never had migraines before. And they're like, all right, what else? I'm like, I don't know, maybe I'm drinking too much coffee. And they said, yeah, that might be it too. Don't stop. Just try to taper down on the coffee. So I started getting massages in the area that I was getting the neck pain and the headaches. And I toned down the coffee. I slowly tapered down the caffeine until I wasn't having any caffeine. And everything was cool. Headaches went away. So guess what? I was having an adverse reaction to excessive caffeine in my system. So I went a couple of weeks without caffeine. And then I thought, well, you know, I'm going to do this better and I'll keep better control of it. I'm going to start caffeine up again. So start drinking caffeine again. And I slowly start ramping up and then I start working more and then I start traveling. So that's another layer back on into this whole thing where like now I'm traveling every now and then just for a specific section of the year. But that changes the sleep pattern too, because then you have the weekly sleep pattern, the weekend local sleep pattern, and then the travel sleep pattern. Everything's different. So I start caffeinating to the gills again and started getting the headache in the same exact spot. So I already know what that headache is. I'm basically overdosing on caffeine at that point. And, well, hell, I was awake all the time, but, you know, it became a problem because whenever I would exercise or do some strenuous activity, I would get this headache that would stay there for like a day or two, and it sucked. So I said, you know what? It's the caffeine again. I'm just going to stop. Now, one important detail here that I had forgotten was that you're not supposed to stop cold turkey. Now, I've already made the mistake of over-caffeinating to the point where I'm hurting myself because my blood vessels have more coffee in them than blood. And I'm getting gnarly headaches in the base of my neck. So it was already a mistake. You know, doing the world's most dangerous, the world's strongest coffee in a nitro brew canister and leaving it to brew like, you know, a couple nights in the fridge was a mistake. So there's a lot of mistakes going on here in the caffeine world. So why not add another mistake, which is quit cold turkey? So now I get a new headache. I have my persistent neck headache from caffeine overdose, basically. That's what I'm calling it. And now I have a new headache, which is caffeine withdrawal headache, which if you guys have ever had withdrawals from anything, you know, you kind of feel kind of tired. And it's almost like you have a bit of a fever. It's kind of sickly. And then I get headaches as well. So I have a headache in two places and I'm just wrecked for like a day or two. And then my wife says, hey, why don't you take your blood pressure? So I take my blood pressure and the machine reads numbers that are so fucking big that I go, this machine's broken. And she goes, are you sure? I go, well, no, it has to be, because if this isn't broken, we have to go to the hospital. So I go to the local drugstore and I grab another blood pressure machine. And lo and behold, the first machine was broken, but only slightly, because it was not as high as it was showing on that machine. But it was still high enough to where I was like, okay, we probably have to go to the emergency room. And so just for reference, it was like 160 over 110, which is, you know, for someone my age, there's a big issue. There's some sort of a massive problem. So I take the, I look at her and I'm like, you know, the kids are in the room and she's in the room. I'm like, all right, we got to go to, I'm going to go to the urgent care. So I go to the urgent care. She's like, do you want me to drive you? I'm like, no, I feel okay. Even though like I feel general malaise, I'm kind of like, ugh, you know, I'm going through caffeine withdrawals and caffeine overdose headache at the same time. It's kind of miserable. I go to the urgent care. And this is all, you know, relevant to what we do because, God damn it, I was caffeinating to stay awake to play music. So I get to the urgent care and I tell the nurse, I'm like, hey, listen, my blood pressure is extremely high. I just took it at home. You're going to take my blood pressure now. I don't want you to freak out because if you freak out, I'm going to freak out and then it's going to get worse. And she, you know, this nurse has heard it all before. She's seen a million things. She's like, yeah, yeah, don't worry about it. It's fine. I've seen high blood pressure before. So she's asking me, you know, when did my symptoms start? Why does my head hurt? Where does it hurt? And all of a sudden the blood pressure machine's finished and it starts making an alarm noise. It goes beep, 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 beep. So I've never heard that noise before. And maybe she has because she stops and she just looks up slowly at the machine and goes, oh. And I said, no, stop. You're doing the thing I told you not to do. Don't, you're freaking out. Stop it. And she goes, no. I'm going to go get the doctor and I'll be right back. And in my mind, I'm like, oh, great. My heart's going to explode from caffeinating like a dumbass. So the doctor comes in and goes, you know, she checks me for, this is where it just gets, this is beyond, I'm so dumb sometimes, you know, I made so many mistakes in a row, you know, it's like, I already knew caffeine, I had to treat it with respect and like not go overboard. I go overboard and not just that, but then I quit cold turkey. So my body's just freaking out because my body's like, where's the stuff that we want? Where's the caffeine? Where's the juice? And then at the same time, my body's going through the symptoms of withdrawal. It's just, it's a clusterfuck, all brought on by me. So the doctor comes in and she starts doing the basic processes of a stroke check. So she asked me to squeeze her hands. She says, does this feel the same? Have you noticed your speech slurred? She looks at my face, is like, does everything look the same? She pushes down on my arms. So she's checking me to see if I've had a stroke. And I say to her, you know, I would hope that I would have noticed if what you're checking for would have happened to me. And she's like, well, you'd be surprised. She goes, listen, I can't treat you here because your blood pressure is high. We don't have anything to bring it back down. You're going to have to go to the emergency room. So at this point, I'm like, oh, great. It's like 9:30 at night. And I'm thinking to myself, well, there goes my goddamn night. So I say, all right, I'm just going to go to the emergency room. Now, I'm kind of worried at this point because I'm not sure what's happening. I put together the fact that it was caffeine stuff afterwards. In the moment, I had a general idea it could be caffeine withdrawal, but I wasn't, or in caffeine overdose, quote unquote, that's what I'm calling it. But I wasn't entirely sure. So I say, all right, I'm just going to go to the emergency room. She's like, all right, just hang tight. I'm going to bring out a printout and discharge you. And I said, no, if this is serious enough for me to have to go to the emergency room, I'm leaving now. I don't want the printout. And she says, okay, wait 1 second. You have to sign a waiver. And I said, a what? And she goes, a waiver. And I said, a why? And she said, well, because you're leaving. And I said, what? She's like, I'll be right back. So she comes back with a paper and she starts writing. And this is basically a waiver telling, absolving the urgent care of responsibility if something happens to you. So she starts writing in the blank space, possibility of heart event and or death. And I said, what am I signing? And she says that you don't want an ambulance to the emergency room. And now I'm just like, well, you know, if I wasn't freaking out before, I'm totally freaking out now. So I sign the paper. I call my wife. I'm like, hey, you got to go to the ER. They can't treat me here. She's like, serious? I'm like, yeah, serious. She's like, all right, well, let's go. So I thankfully stop at the house, pick everybody up, and we're having a family trip to the ER. Fantastic. So get to the ER, and I'm kind of freaked out at this point. You know, I would like my heart to not explode in my chest. So I go up to the lady and I'm like, hi, I was just sent here from the urgent care. And I showed her my hospital bracelet from the urgent care. I said, they said it was likely I could have a heart event and potentially die. And she goes, okay, fill out this form and sit down. I go, did you hear what I just said to you or no? And she goes, yes, sir. What did they say? I said, heart event and death. She goes, okay, fill out the form. I'll get you in as soon as I can. So, sorry, guys. My nose is getting, like, consistently worse. I don't know if you can hear it, but, like, now I can't even breathe good. Hold on. Oh, man. Okay. So, again, if you're just, you know, skipping through, I apologize for the sound of my voice. I've had a cold, and I just wanted to put this out there because lots of cool things have happened in the last week. So, I fill out the form. I go inside, and I give them the same spiel that I gave the first nurse at the urgent care. I said, hey, listen, my blood pressure is really high. I don't want you to freak out. So the blood pressure comes back, and there's a guy nurse there, and he actually, once he sees the numbers, he goes, oh, okay. And I go, what do you mean, oh, okay? Am I going to die? He's like, nah, you're not going to die. This is a high blood pressure. It's elevated. But this is not critical. It's not an emergency to the point where we have to put you on some sort of an urgent watch. And I thought, well, thank you, sir. This is the first time that I feel like I'm not going to die in the last 30 minutes. And he goes, oh, no problem. So, you know, at that point, I had Googled what an emergency blood pressure is. And it's like 180 over 120. Anything above that can be extremely detrimental. So I thank him for making me feel a little bit better. And I go to the room, and then, you know, a few minutes later, the doctor comes in. They put in an IV into my arm just in case. An IV line. They don't put anything through it. Doctor comes in, and I give him the whole explanation that I've given you about the previous coffee thing and the headaches. And he goes, okay, what I think is happening, and that's when he breaks it down to me. He's like, I think that you overdid it on the caffeine and your body's freaking out. And then you stop caffeine cold turkey and your body's freaking out. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to mainline you something slightly stronger than ibuprofen for your headache. And once we get your headache down to zero and we get your blood pressure down a bit, because a lot of times blood pressure is correlated to pain in the body. So if you're feeling pain, your blood pressure might be elevated specifically due to that. So I said, okay, let's do it, doc. So they put in this IV method ibuprofen, which is not ibuprofen. It's slightly stronger and slightly decreases my headache. And then all of a sudden my headache goes away. And I thought, wow, this is much better. And then they take my blood pressure, and it was like high 130 over 95, 139 over 95, which is, you know, way below what it was previously when I was having the massive headache and the blood pressure spike. So indeed, the things were correlated. This is something I didn't know. I didn't know your blood pressure could potentially be affected by the pain in the body. I thought it was specifically and only a circulatory process that had to do with the pressure of blood in the heart and circulation. So now I've learned a couple new things, and the doctor basically says to me, hey, you can't just quit caffeine. You have to drink it in small doses. I recommend that you have small doses of caffeine and slowly wean yourself off. And he explained, this is a very important piece. He explained that when you drink caffeine, you have receptors in your brain that get filled with caffeine. So if you drink more caffeine than you have receptors, the receptors multiply so they can all absorb the caffeine. So if you don't have coffee or an energy drink, then the receptors cry because they want their caffeine, and that's when you get headaches. So if you have over-caffeinated yourself, you've created a situation where you have all of these caffeine receptors in your brain, and because you keep drinking caffeine, they have to keep multiplying themselves, so you have a lot of caffeine receptors. So if you happen to stop drinking caffeine altogether, all of the receptors that you have created in your mind, or sorry, in your brain, are now crying out for the caffeine, and you get a massive headache. So the right way to do it, if you're going to quit something like coffee, is to deprive some of the receptors. So you have a little bit of coffee, so some of the receptors cry, some of them don't. So that way you don't have a massive headache. This is all information that is new to me, and I'm passing it on to you guys because I know there's some caffeinated ass DJs out there, just like I was. So these receptors will cry out when you don't give them caffeine, but you don't want them all to cry. You just want some of them to cry. So you have some caffeine. And then the next day you have a little bit less and then a little bit less. I have an espresso machine at home. They have half-calf coffee and decaf coffee, which I had a decaf today. So I haven't had caffeine in a couple of days now, by the way. I feel okay. I feel fine. So I get out of the hospital, the emergency room, with the note to basically drink a little bit less caffeine every day and to check my blood pressure. So I get home that night, check my blood pressure. It's still a little high. I started making notes of the blood pressure. I take it the next morning and my blood pressure's absolutely completely normal the next morning. I take it in the afternoon or at night again before going to bed, and it's 120 over 70, which is like perfect blood pressure. Then I take it the next morning after that. So for the next like 3 days, I took my blood pressure day and night, and it was so absolutely consistent in being perfect, 120 over 70, that I realized that I was really messing myself up by drinking so much freaking coffee and caffeine. There's some people that don't have the receptors in their brain for caffeine. So when you drink it, it doesn't do anything to you. It's like a thought. It's like, oh, I'm having coffee, I'm gonna be more energized. But it's not really physically doing anything to you. There's other people that have a specific gene, I forget which one it's called, something ACY3 or ACC3. It's like letters and numbers, caffeine receptor gene. I'm sure if you Google it, you'll find it. So if you have this receptor gene, you're susceptible to caffeine withdrawals and caffeine overdose like I am. And so once again, I find myself, you know, a few days after the ER, I stopped taking my blood pressure because I felt absolutely normal, no headaches whatsoever. And then, you know, a couple of days later, I catch this stupid cold that's been messing me up. I haven't worked out consistently in like, you know, a couple of weeks actually. I've been getting workouts here and there. I have a Peloton at home, so I'll ride that for 15, 20 minutes just to be able to do something, because if not, I'll go crazy. But yeah, this is caffeine thing was crazy. It was a very eye-opening situation that I wanted to share with you guys, because like I said, we all have very weird sleep patterns, and sometimes we need extra help to get to where we're going and what we got to do. This is just a word of caution for everyone out there. And now that you guys are aware of all these things that I just learned, hopefully you can take them. And if you're ever in that situation, be able to navigate slightly better than I did. You know, I guess the only downside is the fact that I spent a couple minutes, a little bit nervous and anxious, and I lost an evening to hospital visits, but I have a health insurance, so you know it's not going to be any money out of my pocket. So that's a good thing, which I don't know, a lot of DJs might not have it because we don't have corporate jobs, but I was lucky enough to start health insurance maybe like 12 years ago or something like that. And every year it gets more expensive, but it's still manageable and affordable because it's a very old plan, and it's a great health insurance. All right, guys. So I hope that story helped you guys out. We all go through little things here and there in this game of nightlife stuff. I wanted to give you guys my two cents. I wanted to put out a podcast and let you guys know that the next podcast I put out is going to be probably one of the most important, if not the most important, specifically because of the topic I'm going to cover, which is going to help everyone. Because whenever someone messages me and asks me a question about advice or what they should do or how they should do something, all of my answers, and the only reason I got to this point to be able to like discuss this topic is because so many people have messaged me asking for help, so or advice, which I answer every single message that's ever been sent to me, no matter what. Yeah, so tune into the next podcast, guys. I appreciate you. Check out the Patreon, patreon.com/myfavoriteDJ. If you don't follow me on Instagram, do it now, @myfavoriteDJ. I appreciate you guys, and I will be back real soon with another one. I apologize for my voice, and I appreciate your listening. Talk soon.